It's Saturday night in Fremont at the Atlas Theater. It's time for the CSD Seattle After Party! Our guest tonight, Travis Vogt. He's a man of many talents. But we've also got from CSD Seattle, player David Gordon.
A man of no talents.
And our usual bartender, Daniel.
Thank you.
And my co-host for this evening is Jakiva Phillips. And Jakiva, please introduce us to our contestants.
All right, so we have two awesome contestants. We have Jen, and then we have Brandon, who have agreed so graciously to play this game. Brandon, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I love video games.
What's your favorite video game, Brandon?
Currently, Destiny.
Nice.
Is that like a killing video game?
No.
Yeah, he's nodding in approval. There's killing involved. All right, and Jen, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a crazy cat lady.
How many cats do you have?
I have two, but I want more.
How many cats do you want to have?
20.
Oh, no, you are a crazy cat lady.
That term gets thrown around a lot, but we're in the presence of the genuine article.
Jen,
thank you.
Alrighty. On our panel, like I said, we have Travis Vogt here. Travis, tell us some stuff.
Just like about myself or the world in general, or?
It could be either or, but I would rather hear about you.
Oh, I have had a really long day, so if I'm slurring my speech, it's not because I'm on drugs. I wish I was, but I'm going on like 3 hours of sleep over the last couple days, so it should make the show better, I think.
What have you been doing that you're so busy?
Drugs.
No. All right. Why don't we hold that question for the discussion?
Yeah,
part?
That's true. We should probably save that. All right, so why don't we just jump right on in to this match game thing that's
going
around.
I didn't have anything
around.
Interesting to say anyway.
You're a man of no talents, David, so let's go.
Doesn't mean I'm not interesting.
So the first, the first match game that we're going to do tonight, officials in Northern California have accused a nudist resort of stealing blank. Officials in Northern California have accused a nudist resort of stealing blank.
You know, if somebody's stealing your funny, maybe you should find new funny. Maybe you should make it yourself. Like by taking one of our comedy classes, Comedy 101, 201, 301, and beyond. Our next Comedy 101 class is coming soon, so find out more at our website, seattlecomedygroup.com.
All right, pencils down. Officials in Northern California have accused a nudist resort of stealing blank. Tin, we're going to go to you first. Speaking of the mic.
Fake boobs.
All right, and Brandon.
Bananas.
All right, let's go to Travis.
Gotta have something to put in those hammocks.
Officials in Northern California have accused a nudist resort of stealing blank. Travis.
Clothes.
Clothes. For the irony.
Because they weren't nudists.
No, I don't know. Maybe that's how they recruit.
David.
You're one of us now.
Now throw those goddamn things away.
David, what did you have?
Suntan lotion.
Ooh.
They would need it.
Audience, you approve of suntan lotion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were more enthusiastic the first time.
Dan, what did you have over there?
Toiletries. Yeah, no, that's not funny. I just gave it a go.
You know,
shoot. I ruined it. I ruined the podcast.
You did. Go home. Daryl, what did you have?
You know, this is actually a real story, and they were accused of stealing water.
Oh.
Because there's a little waterfall that's not really theirs, and they were taking water from it. You know, they're all twitchy about water in California right now.
Yeah, that's less funny. That's almost too real. I feel like that belongs in the same universe as Dan's, where they're just stealing toiletries and water, and it's like post-apocalyptic California.
You can't steal water. It's just everywhere. God.
No. Right.
Welcome to capitalism,
so,
Dan.
We're going to move on. So for our next question, on Thursday, Spokane's Shadle Park High School was put into lockdown when someone, not with a gun, but with a blank, wandered onto campus.
Wait, try and read that correctly.
Not someone
with a gun.
Shh. All right. On Thursday, Spokane's Shadle High Parks.
Wait, what?
Stop it. You're
what's
messing
the name
me
of the,
up
what's
now,
the name
Jake.
Of the school?
I've lost all confidence. It's Shadle. Or
Shadle?
Shadle Park High School.
Like Don
yeah,
Shadle?
Yeah, that's a school in Spokane.
Don Cheadle? Don Cheadle? Shadle?
Don Cheadle. Look, I have the big microphone. I'm speaking. Shh. Okay, so, on Thursday, Spokane's Shadle Park High School was put into lockdown when not someone with a gun, but a blank wandered onto campus.
Hey, if you're worried about what's happening and need real-time updates about comedy, you should follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at CSZSEA Podcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/CSZ Seattle After Party. You can find out about all our great guests coming up. Did you know we've got Santa Claus coming up as a guest? It's true. Find out more by following us.
All right, Brandon, we're going to go to you first.
I was really confused by the whole thing.
All right, he's got a one. All right, okay, we're gonna do this one more time. No, that's okay. I want you guys to win the victory points. Let's go. On Thursday, Spokane's Shadle Park High School was put into lockdown when not someone with a gun, but a blank wandered onto campus.
And here's another break. For I can tell you about Wednesday Improv Jam every Wednesday from 8 to 10. Come on in, spend $10, and you can just jam on some improv with fellow improvisers. Yes, and then at 10 o'clock, we're done, and we usually go to the bar.
All right, so we're going to go to Brandon. What did you have?
Samurai sword.
Samurai sword. Yes. Samurai sword. And Jen, what did you have?
Ninja stars.
Ninja stars. Whoa. Oh, awesome. Awesome. Okay, ninja stars. All right, so let's go to our panel. Travis, what'd you have?
I might have misunderstood the question, but I had former U.S. president.
I like how he's just wielding a former U.S. president.
You know what's funny is I think he actually got it right. Never mind. Let's just keep going, and I'll tell you the true story in a moment.
And David.
I said an angry bear.
That was very, very close.
See, why isn't she playing? I'd be matching with her all the time.
She's too smart for the game. That would break.
No, wait, so what does that say about me?
Daniel, what did you have?
I didn't describe it the same way, but I said a sword.
A sword.
Sword.
Ooh, a sword.
We had a samurai sword.
We got a sword and a sword. So that's a point to Brandon.
Woo!
Brandon, right. Let's run our way together.
And Daryl, what did you have?
I had what actually wandered onto the campus, a moose. A moose wandered onto the campus of the high school and put them on lockdown.
Oh, a deadly moose. Oh, no.
They're just
big. Was there a squirrel with him?
Moose bites can be nasty.
Moose and squirrel.
Moose and squirrel.
And then some kids named Boris and Natasha kept trying to get them, and it was terrible. It's crazy.
Well, they had to put them on lockdown because of all of the Acme TNT everywhere.
No.
All right. I could beat up a moose.
And here's the last sentence of our normal round.
In our normal round, as most of our frequent listeners know, we always have it be about someone on the panel. So, Travis, this one's for you. Recently, Travis put out a funny video about food where he extolled the virtues of blank. Recently, Travis put out a funny video about food where he extolled the virtues of blank.
Do I answer this one too?
You do answer this one.
All right.
You know,
my answer matches
yours. Honestly, we constantly extol the virtues of our official women's tackle football team of the CSZ Seattle After Party podcast. The official women's tackle football team is the Seattle Majestics. They are winning by lots and lots of points at every game. So follow them online at theseattlemajestics.com.
All right. So, recently, Travis put out a funny video about food where he extolled the virtues of blank. Jen, we're going to go to you first.
Eating your vegetables.
Eating your vegetables. And Brandon?
Avocados.
Avocados. I like how you just scrunched up your face. You're not an avocado fan?
No, I mean, what the hell? Like, I don't know what kind of answer that
No, is. You never know. You never know. All right, let's go. Travis, what did you have?
So this is
Since yours is the only true answer, you're actually going to go last.
Okay.
So we're going to start at the end. Daniel, what did you have?
Soylent Green.
Soylent Green.
Made of people, I hear.
Yeah, it's a very efficient use of resources.
And David. I don't want to live in your future. David, what did you have for an answer?
Well, this struck a chord with me because I had to see a nutritionist at one point, and the thing that they extolled the virtues of was eating ever.
For those of you that have never seen David, he is like all of 8 pounds.
Yeah, I'm
up to 8.
When that happened, I was at 5.
Daryl, what did you have?
Pretzels.
Pretzels. Okay.
I did. I don't always write things down because I'm talking, but I know what I want to say.
Would you say you improv'd your answer? All right, let's go to Travis. And like I said, your answer is the only true and correct answer. What'd you have?
There's actually two correct answers because I did two food videos kind of that recently that I put out. And one is actually kind of about eating ever because it was just about me eating everything.
Mm-hmm.
But the other one was about rosemary, and I think that's probably the answer
Ooh,
that you're looking for.
Rosemary.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we don't have any matches for that one.
I said eating. She said eating vegetables.
Mm?
It's not. That's pretty generic.
Yeah, No. Doesn't work.
I'm trying to throw her whatever the plant equivalent of a bone
well,
is.
Well, you know what? We're about to go into the lightning round.
Ooh, the lightning
anything
round.
Anything can happen in the lightning round.
I've heard that.
Including
I'm allergic to lightning.
Cool music. Sexy music from the lightning
Keep your
round.
Keep your EpiPen nearby.
Tell them about what the lightning round and how it differs
from
the normal
round. The lightning round is super quick. It's just a one-word fill-in-the-blank. And like I said, you guys use that dinger because the first one who dings in is going to get their point. And if you don't, then you're going to change. All right, so our first one is... Blank pan, blank pan.
I'm gonna give away free smooches to the next person who matches with me.
Oh.
And list or guest, by the way. Or Daryl.
Oh, nice.
You ready, Daryl?
I'm always ready for smooches.
Are we mind melded yet?
I think so.
Good.
Alright, so it was blank pan, blank pan. All right. Jen, you dinged in first. Oh, okay. So you dinged for Brandon. So, Brandon, what do you have?
Bedpan.
Bedpan. Bedpan. Jen can't even look at you right now. Jen, what did you have? Speaking of the microphone. What?
Like pan sear?
Oh, like pan-seared, like tuna. Like, right? Okay, you got, yeah. Okay. All right, so let's go. Travis, what'd you have?
I can only come up with a whip pan, which is a filmmaking technique, and I forgot that pans are used for eating.
You just had a food show.
I know, and then all the food left my brain right after that
You
moment.
Should really see the food show, because pans are not involved.
I know, I did see the food show. It was amazing, but we'll talk about that later. David, what did you have?
What I thought was not going to be an obscure answer, but frying.
Frying pan.
It's a deep
and
cut right there.
Yeah. This is the back,
Daniel,
back to their
at the
first
end,
album.
What did you have?
Nothing as smart as whip pan, but I had dead pan.
Dead pan. Dead pan.
I'm morbid.
And Daryl, what did you get?
I said Peter Pan. Peter.
I thought Peter Pan.
I thought that was like the most obvious one, but the gosh.
No.
Peter
apparently
is the most
not.
Obvious pan.
It's no whip pan, I'll tell you that. All right, so our next thing in the lightning round is deep blank. Deep blank.
You know who's deep? Somebody who can freestyle rap. If you want to learn how to freestyle rap, you should check out Cypher Saturdays. Every Saturday from 3 to 5, learn how to do freestyle rap, and we guarantee we'll be rapping within the first 10 minutes. Pay $10, and in the first 10 minutes, you'll be rapping. Cypher Saturdays, 3 to 5.
Alrighty, so we got deep blank, deep blank. Brandon, I'm gonna go to you first. Deep.
Dive.
Deep dive, deep dive. And Jen, what did you have? Deep blank.
Deep sea.
Deep sea, deep sea. Hey, you guys can go deep sea diving. Hey! That'd be so cute. Alright, Travis, what'd you have?
I just said it, but I'll say it again. Deep cut.
Deep cut.
Yeah.
Deep cut. And David, what did you have?
I just wanna say my first instinct was to write deep sea diving. And then I changed it, to deep fry.
David, I'm sensing a theme with you tonight.
I don't have any issues.
Are you trying to get to 10 pounds now?
It's a long-term goal.
Daniel, what did you have?
To show the difference between me and David, my first instinct was comma balls. But instead I went with deep dish.
Deep dish! Ooh, tasty. Daryl, what did you have?
Because I have mind melded with Daniel, I also said deep dish.
Yeah, baby.
Oh. One of them smooches.
So smooches, the two of you smooches. Get 8,000 nonsense giraffe points. Alright, so the score is currently 1-0 in favor of Brandon, but you know what? Anything can happen because we still have a couple more. So this next one is blank time. Blank time.
You know what's always a good time? Our comedy open mic, the fourth Thursday of every month. It's improv, stand-up, and sketch comedy. Come to laugh or make other people laugh. That's the fourth Thursday of every month, our comedy open mic here at the Atlas Theater.
All right, so it is blank time, blank time. Brandon, I'm going to go to you.
Hang time.
Hang time, hang time.
Remember
that?
Wasn't that
a show in the 90s?
That was a show. In fact, one of my sister's best friends starred in that. Daniela Dutcher starred in that TV show.
Daryl, this is as close to fame as I'll ever be.
That's as close to fame as I'll ever be, too.
Jen, what did you have?
I don't know what that is, but I said machine. Time machine.
Time machine. Ooh. Good one.
You know,
good one.
I think Jen's thinking about these backwards.
No, she traveled in time so that it was correct.
It was machine, comma, time.
Yeah.
Machine, comma, time. Though I do like how she's thinking, because time machines are the best.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, so, what did you have over there, Travis?
Sex time.
Sex time.
It's a phrase we all use all the time, right? It's a thing that people say to each other.
Usually precede it with not.
Yeah. David, what did you have?
Stop. Hammer.
Hammer time! Yeah!
That is the best response.
Alright. Daniel, what did you have?
It's party time.
Party time. And Daryl, what did you have?
I had half time.
Half time. Half time.
We just had a match.
I know, as it is, you're still in comedy sports.
I'm still in comedy sports on half time.
Alright. Math time, and that was so lame. Math
actually,
time.
Bath time is...
I say that more frequently than
again,
I say
Daniel,
sex
I'm
time.
I'm not hearing you.
All right, so the next thing that we have, the next thing is feather blank. Feather blank.
You know, something that's as soft as a feather might be green. So you should check out our Green Show, which is filled with totally hilarious comedy, or THC. It's a show that's on a higher plane. Yes, it's a show that you can only see in certain states and Washington, D.C. Check that out. More information at SeattleComedyGroup.com.
All right. Feather blank. Feather blank. Let's go to Jen. What did you have?
Boa.
Feather boa. Nice. All right. And Brandon, what did you have?
Bed.
Bed. Feather bed. All right. So, Travis, what'd you have?
A pillow.
Feather pillow. Ooh, it goes on a bed, but it's not quite a match. David, what did you have?
I had boa!
Oh, that is a point for Jen! Daniel, what'd you get?
Daryl, can you hear me now? I can hear me.
I can hear you.
I had a feather weight.
Feather weight.
Oh.
Feather weight. And Daryl, what did you get over there?
Well, I was thinking of some of my favorite wrestlers, like Hulk Hogan or... Jesse the Body Ventura, who all wore feather boas.
Ah! Woo!
It's another point for Jen.
And Jen pulls ahead 2-1.
2-1, which means our final lightning round option.
All right. So, blank paper. Blank paper.
You know what you can only write on paper sometimes are secrets. So you might want to check out our super secret stand-up show, the first Friday of the month at 11:30 p.m. Yes, that's right. The super secret stand-up show. Tell everybody, because it's a secret. The first Friday of the month at 11:30 p.m.
All right, so the answer...
You laugh all you want. These are hard to come up with on the fly.
No, we're not laughing at you. We're laughing at ourselves.
It's blank paper. Blank paper. Brandon, what'd you have?
Construction paper.
Construction paper. And Jen, what did you have?
Brandon laughed at me, but I said green paper.
Green paper. Green paper. All right. So, Travis, what'd you have?
Fly paper.
Fly paper. Fly paper.
I don't know if it exists anymore with, like, apps and smartphones and stuff, but it catches flies.
It's like sticky paper. You, like, hang around and flies get stuck to it.
It's basically like sticky paper.
You're making me feel 90. I'm 28. What happened?
Done in the cloud now.
All right, so, David, what did you have?
So we want to say ours at the same time because all we could either of us could think of was blank paper.
Blank paper! Get it!
Yep. I've got a blank paper, baby, and I'll write that.
Thank you, David.
Daryl, what did you have?
I also wrote fly paper.
Fly paper! Alright. So that means we've reached the end of the lightning round, and with the score of 2-1, the winner is Jen! Give it up for Jen! Jen, you are not going home empty-handed. You are getting 4 free passes back to any CSZ Seattle show. So that, like I said, it's good for any show, our blue show, our green show. Just remember, those shows frequently sell out, so just go ahead and give us a call, and then you can reserve your spots with those tickets. Brandon, you are not going home empty-handed either. As second place winner, you get the bar prize, which is any drink you want at the bar for free, and a candy bar! Give it up for Brandon!
Woo!
Yeah. That's a double bar right there.
One more of those and you'd win at the slot machine.
That's why it's called a bar prize.
All right, so now we're going to move into our discussion portion, because tonight we have this awesome writer, filmmaker, dude extraordinaire. I don't even know how to categorize you.
Me neither.
So tell the masses.
Man, I believe is the term, a renaissance man.
He is a renaissance man. All right, Travis, tell us about yourself to the masses.
I do a bunch of stuff. Made movies. I write for City Arts right now, and also a thing called Encore. So I end up. I'm also a comedian and doing a lot of stuff. Anyways, right now I do a lot of writing for reviews of operas and ballet. I'm not joking, and improv. So I'll review an opera and then I'll come here and review this show.
Nice.
After so that's weird.
Or awesome. I mean, you get
it's great.
Tickets to do so
don't get me wrong.
Things, yeah.
But it's a really different crowd going from one of those things to the other, really fast. Because I don't know if you've been to an opera before, but have you been to an opera before?
Yeah.
I've been doing operas a lot now, and I am by 50 years the youngest person there.
Yeah.
And I am not young. If any you're on the, you can't see over the airwaves or whatever, however podcasts go, but I'm super old as
you're
it
not
is.
That old.
I'm old for me. I'm as old as I've ever been, I swear to God.
Oh yeah. That's true.
From my perspective, I'm old as shit.
I felt really old yesterday, and then my friends put me in check because I put up a photograph of myself from 1992, and I was like, man, that was so long ago, because I was 3 years old. I was like, oh, 1992 was so long ago. And then my friend Yolanda posts, I was starting college in that photograph. She totally put me in check. I was like, okay, I can no longer say that I'm
old. I was in my 40s in 1992.
No, you weren't.
I'm making that up,
yeah,
but
you're
still.
Totally making that up.
You get the idea.
Either that or you moisturize really good.
After you cross, I don't know, I'm told that people, when they get to a certain age, start exaggerating and saying that they're younger, but once I crossed 30, I was just 50 as far as anyone's concerned. I was 31 and people were like, how old are you? I was like, I don't know, 50. Who cares? Who cares? I'm going to die soon anyways. I took it pretty well.
Way to look at the glass half full.
Yeah.
I read your stuff in City Arts, and I used to have an internship at Seattle Met, and now I have my own magazine. And the whole thing when you write is you always have to find your own voice, but it also has to be in the style of the magazine. And I just love the way that you write.
Oh, thank you.
How do you go about that process? I mean, because City Arts is pretty... it's not hoity-toity, so it's you're not going to be using.
For me, it's hoity-toity. Oh, and and Encore, which is a subsidiary, that's what I write about the opera. And I had never been to an opera until I reviewed one for the first time. So it's everything's more hoity-toity than I am. I'm the least sophisticated person who ever lived.
Do you find yourself often trying to put your personal writer voice in check?
Yeah, well, when I write about operas and ballets, I don't try to pretend I know what I'm talking about. I try to be from a perspective of most people who don't know anything about operas and ballets and try to sell it from that perspective. Cause I enjoy them, I go to them, and I think this is really cool. But who knows what nobody watches operas. I mean, honestly, nobody knows what's going on, even who's there at the opera. You can talk to them afterwards and be like, what'd you think of that story? And they'll be like, I don't know, they were singing. In fact, there were fat people and they were singing. It was good.
So what you're saying is watching an opera is kind of like watching something high. You just sort of come out and you know something happened, but you're not really sure what.
Now, I did watch an opera high one time, and I wish I could say it was actual drugs, but it was cold medication because I was super sick, and it was great. Because there was like crazy visuals and you're just there and there's like a sea of old people around you and you're like, ah, this is actually, oh, I recommend going to an opera high sometime if you get a chance.
I will say this, I don't do drugs, but seeing Midsummer Night's Dream while sleep deprived was one of the craziest experiences of my life, because you just go in and you're like, it's totally a dream.
Yeah.
It's like watching Inception while you're really tired.
Yeah, what if one of those people starts talking to me? What am I going to do? I've worried about that before, too. I often go to these operas sleep-deprived as well, and it's great.
I've been to an opera. I saw Don Giovanni at the Seattle Center. And I thought, oh, this is going to be like really interesting and culture and all that sort. And then in the first scene, Don Giovanni cuts a bitch and then gets on a motorcycle on stage and they drag it off. I was like, oh, these aren't even taking it seriously.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. I thought that was steeped in tradition.
So we can swear on this thing?
Oh, can I say
now,
swears?
Now is the time to mention that, and I'm the worst offender of this, but we are PG-13.
Oh, so I have been drunk
PM. So you can only say that one more time.
So, I think Daniel just used up all our swear words.
That sounds about right.
A lot, Daniel.
Fine. So those sons of guns weren't even taking it seriously themselves, because I know Don Giovanni was not written when motorcycles were extant. So what the heck?
And we're going to talk about opera now. But that opera was super sleazy even like 400 years ago.
It was a big deal.
It's so sleazy, and I'm keeping it PG-13. But that opera, Don Giovanni, is about a guy who has intercourse with everyone
in Europe. Yeah.
Literally everyone in Europe, and there's a song about all the people he's... It's like... It's like
say,
a song from 2 years ago, except it's written in Italian.
It's like, this is the classiest this show has
ever
been.
Yeah, we're talking
opera here.
So you're saying Don Giovanni is like 200-year-old, like
300-year-old smut.
88 lines about 44 women.
It's super smutty. And, it's even more than that, because they do this one bit when he's going through all of the books of the different countries that he's been to, and he's like, Italy, 300, and then like, France, 400. These are the women he's slept with.
Yeah, I know.
And then I believe they get to Spain, and he goes, 7,000! And so it's like a diss on Spain somehow. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I don't get it. I wasn't born 300 years ago. But it's great. And then at the end, he goes to hell, so it's all right. You know, like, oh, it's okay. He went to hell, so we're all moral Christians here watching this opera.
Opera.
Yeah.
So definitely, I mean, obviously with the opera crowd, you're getting like sort of the older folks. Then on improv, I mean, you're getting sort of the younger crowd. Mm-hmm. As somebody who does like comedy and stuff, like when you watch improv, is there like a part of you that like just always is like, ooh, like I feel like whenever I watch improv or when I watch acting, so I also did acting for a long time, whenever I watch it, there's so many things I'm like, I want to do that. I want to do that. Like I would do. Do you ever get that like with improv or with opera?
I'd never get that with opera.
You never feel the urge? Okay.
To go up there and sing? Oh, no. Lord, no. I have a terrible voice. I would like to be in the background of one of those, eating the fruit, you know, when they have, like, a table full of fruit. I'd be, like, just an extra, you know, if they had some bacon back there, and I'd eat that.
I know some people who do that.
That would be a sweet gig right there. I could do that.
Yeah.
But the comedy sometimes, yes, it looks fun.
You'll be in the paper, the whatever they call it, the playbill. It'll be guy eating fruit. Travis votes.
Guy eating fruit was fantastic. The rest of the opera was garbage, but that guy ate the crap out of some fruit.
Yeah, when he ate those
grapes. You can write about yourself.
He pretended to like that honeyedew melon. He ate so much fruit.
I believed it.
We thought he was going to die. He ate so much fruit. We didn't know it was possible to put that much fruit into a human colon.
I know there was other stuff going on, but I just couldn't take my eyes off that guy eating the fruit.
I just thought about that Monty Python, like the really fat guy in the restaurant.
Oh.
That's like what my brain would do. Oh, he keeps eating the fruit.
I mean, that'd spice up an opera.
That would
just have like a 500-pound guy just in the background, just eating everything.
And then right after the final like aria and the high note, he explodes his guts all over the place.
Like, right, yeah.
So at some point here, we stopped talking about opera and started talking about a Gwar concert.
Nah,
yeah.
Hey, this would be
a Gwarpra. It would be a Gwarpra.
A Gwarpra. There's a Green Day musical. It's only a matter of time.
Oh God! Oh no!
Wait,
no. There's so many things wrong with that.
He's been on Broadway for like 5 years.
I wish I was dead.
So Travis, you do other things. You also have like a new cooking show, and I watched it the other day, and I couldn't stop laughing. I thought it was really funny. So
what's the title?
It was like the first one. So you go over to your friend's house and like North Beacon Hill.
Food slut.
Yeah, food slut.
Yeah.
Food slut.
Yeah. I was wondering about that title, and I cleared it with two feminists before I did it, because it's about a guy who, it's about me, and I just eat a lot of food. So this is like, but I like the title, but everyone comes up to me and goes, that video that you made, because I don't want to say that word, and so I've...
They don't want to say food slut?
They don't want to say food slut. I haven't heard anyone, until now, I don't think I've heard anybody else say the title back at me.
Oh, man.
The one where you eat a lot of food. You know what I'm talking about.
I love that title. I kind of want to make it like a thing now. Like, I think it should be a thing. You guys are such a food slut.
Food person with loose morals.
I am a person, and a loose jaw, man. That could be misconstrued two ways.
Loose foodie?
That video is the closest, the most personal video I've ever made, though. It's like the closest to my life that I've ever done a video.
Yeah.
Because, if I could do a show where I just go to friends' house and they make me sandwiches, I could do that every day. That would be great.
I really think it should be a show, because it's like they're starting to push out the sides now. At first it was all, oh, let's take you to the best places ever. Let's take you to this. Now they're finding the ones that are like, let's take you to the dumpiest places or the scariest foods. Why not have the one where it's just the guy? I'm going to go to a friend's house and see, you know, what's it like? Is this good?
What has he got in his cupboards?
Yeah.
What kind of popsicles are these? Can I have one?
I've always wanted to see a, like, cooking competition show based on stuff that normal people have in their house. Just like you go into somebody's house and you have to like cook this 5-course dinner using only the things they already have in their pantry.
I thought about doing that. And in fact, I did something similar at an old job. I made a couple of food videos. And the whole thing is like, I always wanted to do that exact same thing, David. It's like, oh, what's in your fridge? Like, and just show people that like you can just actually make decent
food.
Can we
do this cooking show?
We're going to do it. You want to high five it out? That is legally binding. We are doing a cooking show.
I want you guys to do that show in my house the day before my paycheck arrives. So you just see what you can do with this flour. That's
like
it.
Flour and some mayonnaise. Like, not actual, like, flour that you cook with, just a flour.
A flour. You found a flour. We found this in your backyard. Do you have any mayonnaise? Well, we can scrape the bottom of this jar. Now everybody competes.
Yeah. Okay, can
Ooh, now
I,
it's
can
dandelion
I just,
aioli.
Can I just say, I have a backyard, but no food is the most American problem ever.
That's my problem right now.
So tell us a little bit about, so I only saw the one called Food Slut. Is that, that's not like a series, is it? Like,
that was the
a little
first
bit more
one. We
that.
Did that, okay. I did that for Weird and Awesome with Emmett Montgomery, which I do every month, just show at the Annex Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my comedy partner, Kevin Clark, do it every month, and we do a live sketch 1 month and then a video. And so, I don't know, it's just an idea that I had. And we might make a series out of it. I mean, it has to get a certain amount of clicks on YouTube before I'm going to be motivated to do a video, because it takes a lot of time. But the next one, if we do a sequel, no spoilers or anything, I mean, although I'm just going to spoil it right now, I want to do one where I go to like a Plaid Pantry or a 7-Eleven, and it's just like, because I like all that food too.
You know,
Slurpees and those gross pizza roll things on the hot dog rollers. Yeah. Absolutely.
I would love it though
taquitos.
If you went to.
Thank you.
I love taquitos.
I would love it if you went to, after doing enough of these, if it did become a thing, where you go to different places and you have all this regular food that people eat and you just enjoy it. You have an episode where you go to somebody's house and they really try and make you something nice, like some really fancy salad or something. You're just like, what is this? I thought you had something to eat here.
I don't like decent food. Well, he's a food slut though. He likes all of it. Or I like all of it. It's just like you could give me filet mignon or pop me some popcorn or something like that. I'm happy with it.
Oh, Brandon, what do you want to say?
I just wanted to say, like, if you sold a t-shirt that said food slut, I would buy that t-shirt.
I second that. I would
I'm
totally
going to
buy
head to my t-shirt.
T-shirt
pressing factory right after this and get cracking on that.
When he's not doing opera or joining podcasts, he's making t-shirts.
In his factory, apparently.
So when I was watching it, it's professionally done.
Oh, thank you.
Like, it's very nicely done. There's music, there's everything. And so the whole time I was like waiting for like the shoe to drop. Cause you're at your friend's house, you're like, yeah, some turkey. You get like the mustard water. Like.
Solid Travis impression, by the way.
I've been practicing. But then I was waiting for some like, oh, just kidding. Like, now we're going to go to a restaurant. He's really a chef. Like, nah. And it didn't. And that was so fucking funny. I mean, so gosh darn funny.
I used our F-bomb allotment already, Jakiva. Get on it.
I told you I'm the worst offender.
When you're editing this, give the F-bomb to her because she's complimenting me when she uses it.
Okay.
That's true. I should get
F-bomb.
Wait, this gets post-production? We can say anything we want.
No.
Dale is not going to be up at all hours editing all of our F-bombs.
Should we do a clap so everyone knows like where the F-bomb was?
No. So, now it just sounds like something else, but we're not going to get into that.
Wait, what does it sound like?
So, if you have to ask David, you obviously don't do it.
Hitting its tail against the water.
Oh my god, okay, time out. Does anybody remember the show Angry Beavers? And there's that whole episode about slapping your tail, which is a total metaphor for something. Like, it was like this commercial on like Nickelodeon, or this TV show on Nickelodeon about these two beavers and like Norbert and Daggett, and like Daggett's all messy and crazy and Norbert's all put together, and it's like The Odd Couple only with beavers. There's a whole episode about slapping your tail. Watch it. As an adult, you're like, oh yeah, I know what's going on there. It's amazing.
Jakiva, double timeout. I love you. Time in.
Can I wait? I double timeout. There's a bar called the Angry Beaver in Greenwood. It's a Canadian hockey bar.
All right, podcast over. We're going to the Angry Beaver.
Drop the mic. No, okay. So Travis, I want to talk more about your show.
Oh.
So when I was watching it, I felt there's something. Just so this is gonna sound like actor douchebaggery, but there seemed something very natural about it. Like there was no pre-planning. Was that mostly improv?
Yeah. The only thing that was written was the opening thing where he's got the intro and I'm going, hi, my name's this and I do that. That was written, but then, yeah, I just showed up at his house and kind of futzed around.
Did he know
for a while
that you were going to show up?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I didn't just show up at his house, although he would have been cool if I did that.
Yeah.
He's a fun guy.
Yeah, there were so many great things in that, and especially at the end where, like, you're talking and he's just, like, staring in the back, like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah, yeah, I tell everyone his address.
And that was really funny. So why did you decide to do that, I guess, is...
Oh man, I honestly have no idea. I watch a lot of food shows, as you might imagine, and so I'm constantly thinking of new food shows to do, and that was just one that popped into my head. We did another one called, Food Folks and Vengeance. This was a couple years ago. It had Derek Sheen in it, and I was a food show host.
Oh, Derek Sheen. He's been on our podcast before.
Oh, he's a good guy.
Yeah, I love that guy.
And I was this food show host. It's basically the same guy from the food slut one, but he traveled around different cities, tasting delicious meals and, systematically getting vengeance against the people who murdered his sister in, like 10 years ago. So he shows up, so I go to Derek's house and he cooks me up something. And that was a good way to get Derek to cook me something, by the way, too. Good video choice. And then I shoot him in the head at the end of it. It's funny though when I shoot him in the head. It's a funny headshot.
Is it like the Total Recall headshot?
It's I wish, because that's fantastic.
Man. I love that.
We don't have the budget for a Total Recall headshot, but someday.
One day. Do enough of these cooking shows, and I believe in you.
Well, let's hope.
Speaking of food shows, David here, while we've been talking, has been sketching us on the panel, just sort of absently, and he's drawing me now, and for a brief second, I look like Guy Fieri, and I almost punched David straight to death.
What? Who is that? Who's Guy Fieri?
Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, that piece of... language I can't use.
Wait, is that like a cooking show thing?
Yeah, he's the jerk.
Okay, so it's like...
With a bleached tips. Like, yeah, I wish he was dead.
Oh, is he like the portly guy who like, yeah. Oh, I'm gonna eat this giant steak.
Yeah, God, I wish he was dead.
No, he's more, douchey than... We can say douchey, right? That's like...
Yeah, that's PG-13. You could say that.
Yeah, he's famous for being more douchey than portly. He's kind of portly, but I think there's portlier. He's not like Andrew Zimmerman.
No,
when I think of portly,
he's not like Louis Portly.
He's not like... Yeah.
But I straight up almost murdered David. I feel bad. I should keep my temper in check. But again, I have been drunk since 4 p.m. I can't keep a lid on this much longer.
Just put a little David. Voice bubble where he's saying, this is money. And that'll be good.
Oh, God. Oh, I know that guy.
Winner, chicken
guy
dinner.
Yeah. Oh, I hate that guy.
Draw me with more sex.
I do. I totally watch that show, though. I'm not going to say I don't watch
do
that
you
show.
Do you watch Gordon Ramsay? Do you watch like, Kitchen Nightmares?
Oh, here's... Okay, yeah. This is going to make me less interesting to everyone in the world. But no, the competitive ones I can't stand. Like the actual reality ones. I just like the hardcore porn ones where they go to a restaurant and they just cook a thing and eat it. Like I don't like anything complicating it. Where someone comes in and goes, wait a minute, now there's rules. No, just go to a place, cook a thing, and a guy eats it and goes, this is great.
So were you a really big fan of, what was that show, Man vs. Food?
Yes, I was.
I
kind of, that was who I was basically, was That's the host of that show was who I was trying to be in the food slut one.
Oh, okay. All right,
Adam
right,
Richmond
right.
is his name.
I like to call that show Guy Slowly Getting Fatter because you can totally yes. see it. Like,
and nowadays, he stopped doing that show and he's lost a bunch of weight and he
well,
looks
yeah,
like he's not going to die.
Dude, if you're going to eat like a 10-pound cheeseburger, you're going to get fat.
He looked like a man that ate a lot of food for a living.
Yeah.
Every day.
That show was terrible. And at the time when that show was really popular, I was in college in Pittsburgh and I was working in an Ethiopian restaurant and a lot of the cooks were from like parts of Africa and they just like, they could not believe that show. This is why people hate America, like right yeah. now.
That
and then I was like,
good...
you know what? I can't argue with you because I hate America because we made a freaking like 10-pound cheeseburger then some dude ate it on TV and it's like no there's something kind of wrong
he's
about
like,
this
I can't finish this take it away and they throw it in a trash
yeah.
can or something like
oh,
that.
It was,
yeah
it was really bad
they
yeah.
could have called that show I'm Adam Richmond and this is what everyone hates about America that would have been a good title of the show I would have watched that too also I still would have yeah. watched that
I was gonna say if you called it that I would have watched it
might have done better in the ratings. And then yeah. he would have had to do the show for longer, and then he would have died at the age of, like, 33.
Oh, no, that poor guy.
The worst part about food challenge shows is that every week, at least once, normally on a Wednesday afternoon, I think to myself, can I eat 100 chicken nuggets in a sitting? And, God, I want to find out.
I would.
So I understand the drive to make these shows. I relate in a terrible, grotesque way.
Mm-hmm. I have actually decided that if I do get, like, a diagnosis, then I'm going to die within the next couple weeks. I am going to eat just, I'm going to call my parents and be like, hey, and do that conversation and then off to McDonald's and I empty my bank account on chicken McNuggets.
Really? McDonald's? Yeah. Dude, if you have like a week to live and you're going to waste it on McDonald's?
How is that a waste? I'm just eating McNuggets.
Okay,
until
even
I
if
die.
You said
it's
gonna Applebee's.
Be, it's going to become a waste very quickly.
Even if you said
no,
Applebee's, that
die.
Would be a step above McDonald's. And Applebee's is like the worst. Like, if you're going to have a week to live and you're going to, don't do it. If you have a week to live and you're going to like empty your savings account, live in style, man. Live in style.
I say go Taco Del Mar.
I already
Taco
do that.
Bell. Yeah, Jen said Taco Bell. I highly agree. Taco
no,
Bell.
You're all wrong.
I like Taco
chicken
Bell
nug
too.
Nugs. You need those chicken nugs. They're good for your body. And
I
your
think
heart.
They're so good.
Do you have a cutesy nickname for chicken nuggets?
Chicken nugs. You guys don't have a cutesy nickname for nugs?
I just had the weirdest picture of you. You know how like they used to have like chicken nuggets that were in dinosaur shapes?
Oh yeah. My god!
And you're playing with your dinosaur chicken nuggets. You're like, give my chicken nug.
Jakiva, don't be dumb. Those were dino nug-nugs, not chicken nug-nugs.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're dino nug-nugs.
You got the real dinosaur meat ones?
I wish.
Did you have, like, Echo and Delta and Blue? Anybody? No one's watched Jurassic World yet?
Oh.
Wow, over your head.
I was going to go...
Spoiler alert! The name of the raptors! Oh, no!
I was going to go with, oh, here comes Littlefoot.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of what I thought you were talking about for a second.
Long necks don't play with three horns, but you both get in my belly.
Wow. Now you know what happened to his mom.
Land Before Time is universal. It spans generations, clearly.
I mean, you know, it's lasted for millions of years.
Yes,
you know, what's another 100 in keeping it a classic?
It's a good point.
So I want to talk about your stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
A part of me thinks that maybe the seed for your show was stand-up. Am I totally making that up?
Which
your cooking show?
Oh, I don't know. I think I learned how to be do any kind of acting capability that I have or any kind of improv capability that I have. I got from doing stand up. But I don't. I think the ideas come from completely different places.
Oh, okay.
As far as I can, I don't honestly don't know. They just like, oftentimes I wake up the next day and I've been drinking, and then I check my notepad and I go, oh, those are pretty good ideas. So I don't really know where the origin is. I'm like, oh, I'll do that. That's pretty. These other 100 ideas gone.
Where are you performing at now or when?
I haven't
next
been doing a lot of stand up since I started writing semi professionally because I also have to have a job. And then I picked up another job recently. That's why I'm tired. That's what we were talking about earlier. I work at Scarecrow Video, and then I...
Wait, Scarecrow Video still around?
It's still around. And
whoa.
that's our new slogan. Scarecrow Video. We're still around. No, we're not out of business.
I feel like the only video place
they
I know...
They keep sending me checks. It's crazy.
The only video place I know that's still around is Video Isle in Fremont.
I just
didn't
walked
know
by
Scarecrow's
that's right.
Around. Yeah.
I feel like We're Still Around is like... Every time I see a Pepsi commercial,
yeah.
like that's just all the vibe I get from it. Cause you see like a Coke commercial all the time. And then like whenever Pepsi like comes on, you're like, oh, yep, there's still Pepsi.
Speaking of still Pepsi, I heard that they're going to be coming out with Crystal Pepsi again.
Yeah, that is true.
Is that like Breaking Bad theme Pepsi?
Like it's 1985.
Oh, very good. I wish.
Because Crystal Pepsi was so good the first time around.
It's like, here's new Coke.
More on your stand-up. So where does your stand-up come from? Like, I stand-up is like one of those weird elusive things. Like, I feel like I float around so many like acting things and I can understand how most of them operate.
Yeah.
But stand-up is like one of those like lost forms to me. So like,
mostly comes from conversations that you have with people. Is that you just end up, you know, you're talking to a person and you tell a joke and then they laugh. And then if you're a stand-up comic, you're some sort of weirdo who goes, wait a minute, let me just reel back that whole thing and now I gotta go somewhere and write it down. So you can't have a natural conversation with anybody without going, well, that's a good idea. So that's kind of where that comes from. And then sometimes if I just need to write a joke, I'll actually just go, I'm gonna write a joke. And then I'll just like think about stuff for like hours. And then I'll come up with shitty jokes, crappy jokes, and then one of them will be good if I'm lucky. But it's mostly just trial and error. And then if you aim to be a good stand-up comic, you have to do it constantly. And so you're going up to open mics and you're trying new stuff out all the time. And then one in every 100 jokes turns out to be good. And then you collect those and you make those better. And then the longer that you do it, the more of an idea you have of what's going to be funny. So it makes your filtering process a little quicker. But still, you still write a bunch of crappy jokes all the time and are disappointed every time.
Have you ever like totally bombed in like a venue?
Oh my God, yes. Oh man.
tell me about the worst time that you bombed.
Oh, it was the worst and the best because I learned how to bomb. I'm from Yakima, Washington.
Okay.
Everybody sit down.
Which
is in Eastern Washington, and it's as modest a town as it sounds like it is. But so I've lived in Seattle for 15 years or whatever, and I started doing stand up and getting gigs and stuff. And they had a comedy club called Carmen's in Yakima that shouldn't have existed by any means. And I got a gig there. It paid and stuff. And I went down there, and you do 4 shows over the weekend, like Friday 2 shows, Saturday 2 shows, and like 6 people showed up to each show. And those people, I don't think knew they were at a comedy show. I think they got corralled into there. They thought they were going to a Skipper's or something like that. every single show was people crossing their arms and just like not happy with anything that you did. And
make me laugh.
I don't even think they wanted me to make them laugh. I don't think like, cause there was, I was one of like 3 other comedians and they were like, no matter what anybody said, they were like, uh-uh. And then at one point we had a big crowd. We were like, ooh, this is a big crowd. And there was like, 20, 30 people. Nope. All 20, 30 people there to just look at a glass of wine and not do anything with their arms crossed. And the first time it happened, I was horrified because I've been doing stand-up for like a year or two and I couldn't take it. And by the last time it happened, I was perfectly comfortable up on stage. I was like, you're not going to laugh at me. I'm going to go through this and be a professional, go home and get really, really drunk. And that's how you do it. And that's how you medicate through the whole thing.
Do you feel like when you see muggles in the audience that like it's like a challenge?
No. I'm not very competitive. I know a lot of comedians that do who like look for the person. I've heard comedians say this a million times where they're like, I look for the person in the crowd who's not smiling and I'm going to make you laugh. I see the person in the crowd who's not smiling and get the hell away from them. I don't have that kind of courage.
Well, David and I both do comedy sports. And so like when I'm in the audience and I look out and I see like there's like one person who's kind of like, make me laugh or like just kind of seems like out of it. Like they don't know what they're doing. There's a part of me that gets like, sees it as like a challenge or like an opportunity to really like test your mettle. I don't know if David feels the same way. Do you feel that way?
I'm usually so like tunnel visioned at that point that I'm not seeing the audience anyway. I sort of have the opposite thing drive me though, where like if I find the one person in the audience who does like it, like everybody else in the audience, whatever, but like, as long as I can keep making that one person laugh, I don't feel like bad about the show.
Yeah, like, that's true.
I've made nothing but terrible puns that one guy liked. Fine. That guy liked my puns.
Mm-hmm. That's very much like me, right? That's more what I'm like.
That's totally true. I do love it when there's like a couple of just like super stoked people, and especially when they're in the front row and they're like, yeah, and you're like, oh, I love you. You're so great. I also have this weird thing, and I don't know, again, David, if you feel this way, or Travis, or anybody else.
Don't be shy.
So you get these weird muggle characters, and without getting too political, sometimes I feel like it happens when it's mostly like a girl show, and then it's just a bunch of dudes that are like, girls can't be funny, and then there's like a dude in the audience who's like 40, and it's like this weird challenge that you have to like do. Do you ever like notice or like feel this like weird sense of like people like maybe not necessarily liking you, and like what's your reaction?
I feel that sense just in life all the time. Honestly, like, yeah, 100% all the time, every day. Right now, 100, yeah, totally.
I feel that on a deep emotional level.
Yeah. So, like,
friends, so bad.
There are sometimes, cause my stand-up comedy is basically like a fat guy going up and telling gross jokes and stuff. And there's sometimes, people like that generally. They're like, yeah, hey, just say gross things about yourself, fat guy. That's
like a shorthand description of stand-up comedy.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say, that's like 80%.
Absolutely. And, but then it's sometimes where people are clearly going like, ugh. And you're like, oh, well, you know, I was just kind of joking. Oh, you really think you're really disgusted? Oh, wow, geez. Okay.
So have you toured a lot of places?
I did a tour with Derek and this guy named Mike Drucker.
So have you been like all over the nation then?
No, we did a West Coast tour, went to LA and San Francisco and stuff. And Mike Drucker writes for the Tonight Show now.
So, really?
You know,
oh,
one of us, one of us rose above.
One out of three?
exactly.
So how would you categorize a Seattle comedy audiences?
All over the place, really. I hear people from all sides complaining about Seattle comedy audiences for being like, I don't know, too PC or too sensitive. But if you do a show at the Comedy Underground, that is not the case.
Yeah.
That's not going to be the case. That's people coming in from all over Washington for the show. And, they'll be offended by religious jokes, but you can go ahead and do your, I don't know, anti-gay jokes all you like. I've seen that happen before where a comic did 15 minutes of like, gays are weird and killed in Seattle before, you know, at the
really?
Comedy. Yeah, and you're like checking your watch and you're like, wow, we're at like 12 minutes of him doing this and they can't get enough.
Hey, I really just wanna, we've got our listener that we get every once in a while who listens live, IC has been on, and I just want, he's been writing lots of stuff. I've been trying to keep up, but haven't had a good place to break it up. I just want to say that he says he likes fat comedians. They don't usually live over 40, but they take you to the best restaurants.
Also doesn't apply to me. I mean, I might live over 40.
But we know what you're going to do as soon as you know you're going to die. You're going to go buy some chicken nuggets.
That's how you'll know, which is going to be this weird, sad thing. If any of you guys see me like on the street with a wheelbarrow full of chicken McNuggets, your first instinct will be to like laugh and go, look at, and then you go, oh, that's right. He's going to die in a week.
Okay.
Yeah, so, if you weren't going to die before the chicken nuggets.
Yeah, I'm making damn sure I'm going. It's going to be a week.
So
right?
I hate / love this thing, this picture. And every time I show it to Alex Grindelin, there's a tiny part of him that dies. Mm. But it is like woman on a hover round eating a block of cheese outside of Walmart. It's a 5-pound block of cheese. And she's eating it. She's like halfway through with this like 5-pound block of cheese. And so when you just said that, that's what I thought of. Just like, oh, ha, ha, ha. Oh, God. Like, that's totally the experience you get when you watch this woman. Like, Daryl, you should find it so that everybody in the audience can see what I'm talking about. But it is one of those photos.
It's one of those full-on blocks of cheese.
It's a 5-pounder, dude.
Yeah.
And this is not to make fun of fat people, because I don't think that that's funny. I'm not that kind of person. But the photo itself and just the concept of this, just this woman in a hover around outside of Walmart eating a 5-pound block of cheese, that's like, oh, God.
Can I just interject? And this may be making fun of fat people. I'm not sure. But I remember...
Yeah, Mr. 8 pounds.
Yeah, you're all fat to me. All you normal-weighted people look the same.
A third grader is fat to you, David.
David is two-dimensional.
That's true in many ways. I remember in my high school science class, someone brought in a news article about a 1,000-pound man who had to be removed from his house by taking out a chunk of the wall
transported to the hospital in a specifically reinforced ambulance.
The Gilbert Grape, yeah.
There was a picture of him. He looked like a human turtle. He was completely bald. His head was like, just like totally round.
Oh. Oh, you found it?
Daryl just yeah. pulled it's up real. That woman eating block of cheese, and oh, the first no. thing I heard was, oh my god!
Jakiva, question. Do yeah. I have like 2 minutes to tell the saddest story that's ever happened to me?
Does yes. it end with like a tiny ray of hope?
No.
Okay, tell it.
Years ago, when Emily and I were still working downtown in Seattle, I was leaving Big Fish, and I was on that McDonald's, speaking of chicken nug-nugs, on like 3rd or whatever that is, and a woman comes out of the McDonald's, a woman much like the hover-around picture lady, with like a giant strawberry milkshake and a bag full of food, and she goes to get on the street to cross, and she doesn't go down the little crossing path, she just tries to go over the curb, and she eats it. And it is terrible. Like, the whole thing just comes crashing down. And I watch it happen, because there's no way you can stop that. But then I'm looking at the aftermath, and I think, oh God, what do I do? What do I do? Because this woman cannot help herself up. So I immediately, like, rush to try to help her up. I'm like, okay, we got this. We got this. Don't worry. Like, young Daniel is full of hope that we can fix this problem. But I'm not strong enough. So, like, I'm trying to lift her, and it doesn't work. And she's, like, yelling at me to leave her, because I can't help her. Like in a Vietnam movie. So I'm like, okay, what do I do? What do I do? So I'm looking around at all the people around me that are just watching me try to lift this woman off the ground, and no one is doing a thing. And I think this is the saddest thing that's ever happened to me, until I look a foot away, and the giant strawberry milkshake she was drinking fell and is slowly seeping towards her. And that to me is suddenly magma. Like, I can't let this strawberry milkshake saturate this woman. No! I cannot! So I'm yelling for napkins as if like someone's giving birth and I want hot towels. Like, I need napkins! Help! Like, so I'm crying at this point out of despair because this woman's about to get soaked in her strawberry milkshake. And she's like crying as well because she knows there's nothing I can do. And all the dips of Seattle, I want to say a worse word, Daryl, but you took them from me. All the dips of Seattle are just watching me and this woman crying on the sidewalk until finally the fire department has to come and they help her. And I just remember going, I don't want to be here no more. I don't even want my chicken nug nugs I came for. Those people took my chicken nug nug joy from me.
Wait, did you stop the strawberry milkshake from touching her?
Oh yeah, I dove onto it like a damn grenade.
See? There's a tiny ray of hope.
It was a grenade that you used to blow up like water,
yeah.
Like holding back.
I have to say, that makes you a superhero. Okay?
It was, sorry, I shouldn't say I dove. I just dropped my arm like a dam for strawberry milkshake disasters.
That's so sweet, actually.
Is it?
No,
strawberry milkshake disasters is the name of my punk band.
I see says that you're a war hero, Daniel.
Really?
Yeah, that's what he says. He says he's a war hero.
Is he single? Find out. Just tell him I said hi.
I see. Are you single?
I just love people that are in love with me.
Because Daniel's not. His wife's working at the bar right now.
I'm not, but tell him I said hi.
He just says hi.
So sorry, that's my saddest story.
You deserve a purple heart.
If that is the saddest story that you have, then I think you've lived a pretty good life.
Somewhat triumphant, really.
That's actually true. And in the end, you became a superhero.
Yeah.
So Daniel just told a story. I just want to know, anybody in our lovely audience, you have any questions for our super awesome guest tonight? Any questions about improv in general? Like, you guys were all at the super awesome comedy sports show beforehand. No pressure, but I just wanted to give you guys the opportunity to talk about stuff. Anybody? There are too many questions that are boggling their minds right now. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Anytime you want to, you just grab that microphone, and then you guys can get numero uno dibs on the next question.
I had a question, but I was too busy chewing my Twix.
Okay. Daniel, what do you have?
So we were talking about when you just sit down to write a joke because you haven't had any good... Oh, you wrote something. My bad. This is for David. David's getting a gift from our audience participant.
It appears to be a cartoon of somebody holding like a flying V electric guitar, saying, "I'm fat." I'm being told it's me.
It is you, David. Like, look at the hair.
How
That's
do you not
totally
see it,
you.
David?
Why don't you take your shades off?
I'm looking through only the pair of glasses that actually affects my eyesight, okay? I'll put the shades back on. Maybe that'll help.
And it says I'm a food slut on it. See, she's combining both things.
It's bringing it all back around.
Food sluts and my weight issues.
I'm sorry, David. This has been tough for you. You want a strawberry milkshake, buddy?
No.
Wah, no. Wah, wah.
Thanks.
Daniel, so you had a question?
Oh, yeah. So we talked about how if you don't have a conversation with someone but you need a joke, you'll just sit down and write one. Have you ever had a time where you just sat down and wrote a joke and thought, oh, no, this is too dark. What deep place did this come from? And then you have to hide it from yourself because it's so dark.
Oh, I would have hidden it from myself, so I won't remember, you know?
Touché.
Like, it's gone. It's already in the folds of my brain. When you start out, you actually don't have that filter, actually. So that's why if you go to open mics, you'll see people telling jokes that are just hurtful. and it's because they need to have that audience, the feeling of that audience hate hitting them a few times to kind of like get that out of their system.
Or
you want to be the edgy comic at first. You want to be Bill Hicks or whatever.
Or if you're Andy Kaufman, you just let that hate drive you.
Oh yeah. I do have known comics that feed off of the hate. I've known a couple comics who like to open with horrifying jokes that are like hurtful to everyone, and then they're like, now I have to climb my way out of this hole. Seriously.
They need the challenge.
I am not looking for a challenge in any facet of life whatsoever, so I don't relate to that at all.
So what kind of comic do you categorize yourself as, or do you think of when you think of yourself? I mean, this could seem like oddly.
As a stand-up comedian?
Yeah, this could seem like oddly self-serving, but like, you know, you have like your Jerry Seinfelds and you have like your Louis C.K.'s and you have your Bill Burrs and like,
Carrot
like
Top.
What's sort of your,
Carrot Top.
Carrot Top.
I see myself more as a Carrot Top type.
Carrot Top. Carrot Top is like the
Carrot
worst.
Type.
I don't even, does he?
He does stand-up comedy.
It's prop comedy. I mean, yeah.
I feel like there's Dane Cook, and then there's 50 Feet of Crap, and then there's Carrot Top.
Yeah.
So don't ever compare yourself to Carrot Top.
It's we can make fun of Carrot Top all we want, but he's done better than all of us.
Oh, God, Carrot Top's terrible.
He's richer and buffer than all of us.
I just want to call time out for a second, because when I said that, Brandon was like, wow. Brandon, are you a fan of Carrot Top?
No, the fact that you can use Dane Cook as a bar to go lower on, like, that was...
I don't think that Dane Cook is funny. I'm sorry. Like, yeah, he's not. Like, there's so many, like, better, smarter comedians out there. I'm like, Dane Cook got really popular in, like, 2006. And you're like, why is this person popular?
Yeah.
They, like, have nothing to offer. Sorry,
people,
Dane Cook, if you're
but
listening,
people loved
but
him
not
for
really.
A time. I see comics like that, and I'm not like obviously a Dane Cook fan, but I see comics that do this sort of thing which I call like magic, the magic of comedy. And you'll see this at comedy clubs too. It's the comedians who it's so like the motions and the rhythms of it are so second nature to them, or so comes so easily to them that they can go up on stage for an hour and say zero, like nothing registers as a joke, and kill in front of people like over and over again. Like I've watched Dane Cook's comedy specials before, and I don't like it at all, but it's just like hypnotic to me because people are laughing after every time he says, and you're like, what happened, what did he say? He said nothing. He like kicked and flailed his body about. You're like, yeah.
So you're saying like
thousands of people were cheering for it.
So you're kind of saying that watching a Dane Cook special is kind of like painting your fingernails while something is on TV and you always miss it and you're looking up being like,
what are you guys, I was watching. It's crazy.
So what you're saying is Dane Cook is like one step away from being like a cult leader. Like,
yeah, it's I swear to God, it's the same quality.
You don't actually hear anything he says, but at the end you're just sitting there nodding along and just reaching for your glass of Kool-Aid.
I don't know. I think he's fallen from grace. Like, I don't think that too many people are into Dane Cook anymore. I think they've all like realized that the Kool-Aid is just sugary.
Because you can't
bullshit.
Do that for you can't. Well, do that
I mean,
for
like
long.
That's what happens to cults.
Yeah, you can't do it for very long. You have to have some sort of substance to last for a long time.
So who is your favorite comedian? Like, who do you love?
Unfortunately, not very original. It's just Louis C.K.
That's a good one, though. It's a good
I know. But I like a Louis C.K. when only like 15% of comedians would say that if you asked him. So that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I like, you know, my choices
You're
are not original.
Hipster.
I like,
You're such a hipster.
Like Louis C.K. before people liked Louis C.K.
Before, just most people, not everybody.
I'm an 85% hipster.
I like Louis C.K. when he was just Louis.
Yeah.
Louis.
I liked Louis C.K. before he was a comedian. I just thought he was a cool guy.
Speaking of Louis C.K., did anybody ever watch the show Lucky Louis on HBO?
Yeah, I hated that show.
Really? Yeah, I kind of so loved depressing. It. I recognize how terrible it was, but it was so good. So for those of you who don't know, there's Lucky Louis, which was a show on HBO, which was like a sitcom, almost like a parody. They had the laugh track and everything. And then later on, like his show Louis, which is on FX, is a totally different vibe. It's more like deadpan humor, and there's obviously no laugh track. They're very current with like how comedy is being done today. But Lucky Louis was such like, it was like the R-rated version of like Friends and like Frasier and like every other sitcom you've ever watched. It was all the dirty things you wanted them to say, but they didn't. And I thought it was awesome.
It was like technically really good. It was just an extreme bad vibe. It was really pessimistic and miserable. He basically did that series when he's in the last couple of years of marriage with his wife.
Is it?
And it looks like a series made by a guy whose marriage is dissolving.
But is it more or less depressing than like Louis is?
Oh man, the last episode of the show is him and his wife who have a kid telling each other that they hate each other and saying that they're really happy because of that. It's mind-numbingly depressing.
No, I thought it was like a weird silver lining note.
I think it was supposed to be, but I still felt like darkness in my soul afterwards, you know?
I have a feeling that you always feel darkness in your soul, though.
Hello, darkness.
So audience.
I represented myself well in this interview then.
So audience, and those of you listening abroad, your homework is to watch Lucky Louie. It's on like a ton of stuff that you can find it somewhere. I'm pretty sure that you'll enjoy it. Later on, we'll come back and we'll have a whole debate about which is better, Louie or Lucky Louie. But in the meantime, treat yourself.
Can I have some extra yourself. Credit? Can I add some extra credit to that assignment, Jakiba?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
The 2001 film Pootie Tang that Louis C.K. co-produced and I believe directed and wrote, etc. Watch that as well if you need a little something.
Oh, God, I forgot about Pootie Tang.
All,
that movie. Oh,
God. How do you spell that?
Pootie Tang is P-O-O-T-I-E.
P-O-O-T-I-E. Oh, you're right.
Yeah, wow. You don't know how to spell Pootie Dog? Weird. All right, it's Pootie with
Pootie
an I-E.
Dog?
Pootie with an I-E-T-A-N.
All right, he's right. I was wrong.
Gosh,
it's obviously
right.
Too late.
Isn't that like a Tweety Bird quote? I thought I taught a Pootie Tang.
All right. Well, now that we've got our homework for the night, I think it's definitely reaching that time where we unfortunately have got to say good night for the evening, and we will have to have you on again because it's obvious to me that you've got more to say about anything we want to talk about.
Oh, yeah. I'm on board.
So
we should have food at the next time.
Yes.
But your guys' homework in the time period of between me saying what shows are coming up next and that is to come up with a misappropriated quote. Everybody on the panel needs to come up with a misappropriated quote. So find a quote or a music line or whatever and apply it to somebody else for comedic effect. And let's see what you do. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the CSZ Seattle After Party. We have... Yes, we have some upcoming guests. June 27th, that is in 2 weeks, our next show is with Elena Martinez and Kristen Lenner, stand-up, sketch, and improv comedians who will be here. They are teammates. They work together. They've been out to Chicago, and friendship started there. And we'll find out more about that. July 18th, we've got burlesque performer Woody Schick will be here. I've already heard from people who've seen the event on Facebook that he's rather cute. And then July 25th, it is Christmas in July on 25th because we have Santa Claus, ladies and gentlemen. We have the Seattle Santa, Dan Kemmes, will be here on July 25th. Now, panel, I want to hear your misappropriated quote, Jakiba.
So my quote is, Stutter from the Bottom, Now I'm Here, by F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Travis, what's your misappropriated quote?
All right, Travis, and, you know, while we're ending here, if there's a place people can follow you online or stuff.
At Travis Vote on Twitter. Is that how it works with the at?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. At Travis Vote on Twitter.
And you also have a Facebook page, right?
I got a Facebook page also under my name. My last name is V as in Victor, O-G-T.
Vote.
Yeah, vote. Exactly.
Yeah, so what's that misattributed quote there?
Let's see. So, the world is a vampire set to drain. Secret destroyers hold you up to the flame. Shakira.
Shakira.
Yeah.
Don't stop believing. Dane Cook, cult leader.
Daryl, I gotta say a bad word. Apologies in advance. You can bleep it in post.
I can bleep it right now.
You just, can try.
Just like get put your hand up when I need to bleep.
Are you man enough to do this? We'll see. I think it was Plato's The Republic that once said, my neck, my back, my pussy, and my crack.
Yeah, that sounds exactly like Plato. That does.
That's true. I read that in The Republic.
Yeah. All right. And my misappropriated quote is really quite simple. Must get squirrel and moose. And that was the principal of Spokane Shadle Park High School.
Wise words.
Right. It all comes full circle.
Ladies and gentlemen, that has been the CSZ Seattle After Party. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you, IC.